No, I'm not a Tar. Well, I am a North Carolina, state of North Carolina Tar Heel, but I'm not a University of Carolina Tar Heel.
Amen. I'm a Wolfpack myself.
Yeah, Wolfpack. I got some Wolfpack in me too.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I used to be a Wolfpack fan until they got rid of Jimmy V, and that's when I started pulling for Duke. All right, let's pray for him. Father, touch him right now, Lord. Awesome man of God. Thank you for using him tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Eddie, for your benefit, the title of tonight is Why Not Me? Why not me? Did you ever say, God can't use me? I'm not worthy of Him using me to do anything. He used all these other people, but there's nothing I can do that would help God. Well, you're wrong. You say you're not wealthy. You don't have any talent. And a few of you say that you can't talk to people. And that's the biggest bunch of bull I've ever heard, because I've seen you in here before and you're running your mouth constantly. Some of you got diarrhea in the mouth, it's so bad, can't get you to shut up. So I know you can talk to people. That's not a problem. We've been given the most precious gift in this life. And all we're asked to do is share it. You can't earn it. It's given to you. And it's something that you can give away to somebody else. Because somebody else is needing it because they're in a lot of pain and they're having a lot of problems and they need something to help them through what they're going through. Now getting back to the talent, some of you say, well, I ain't got any talents. Yeah, you do. Each one of us has got different talent. We got a praise and worship team that come up here and they play all these instruments and they sing and they sound good. And I sit right back there and listen to everything they do. Because see, they got the talent to sing. I got the talent to listen. Without my talent, their talent's wasted. Now I tried that singing bit once when Joe Rowe was here, and she told me not to try it no more because I dropped my bucket with the tune in it over there and spilled it. And then David told me not to, because when I sang, I got serenaded with fruit and vegetables. David told me not to do that anymore because the cans was hurting the wall and damaging it and had to get it fixed. So my talent is in the listening part when it comes to the music. Had an aunt that was a music teacher. She taught piano. She got me in there and tried me for a day or two, and she told me to go do something else. We all have different talents. Another thing you got is time. You got time to do whatever you think is important.
That's right.
I don't care what it is. If you think it's important, you're going to find the time to do it. Be have a busy schedule, jam-packed full, so you can't hardly breathe, but still you're going to find time to do what you think is important. My passion in life is land search for missing people. Now, I'm going to find time to do that. Some other stuff going to be pushed to the side, put on the back burner, whatever, but I'm going to find time to do what is my passion. And we all do that. That's one thing that all of us do, is we find time to do the things that we're passionate about. Now, I got a special news for everybody here. God gave you a present of time. He gave you 24 hours each and every day for you to use ever how you thought. Now, we're supposed to give 10% back to the Lord as our tithe. Well, 10% of 24 hours is right at 2.5 hours. So that's what you need to be somehow devoting back to the Lord. It could be standing up here preaching, which I think Linda's going to do the next one. Because she said she told me she could do it, and I think we need to give dear peace to her for the next time. Right. Sometimes you have your mouth, you stick your foot in it. I know she can do it. That is not a problem. But it might be standing up here, or it might be talking to somebody at the grocery store or wherever. Just wherever you happen to be. And the third thing is ability. I ain't got the ability to do that. How many times have you ever said that besides me? Well, I got news for you. God don't give a flip whether you got the ability or not. He's got all the ability you need. He ain't interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability. Because if you're available, he'll give you everything you need to do it. Everything. It don't matter. Now, who did God use to do all the works and everything that he did? I like to do a study of the big boys in the Bible to see what kind of men God used to do all these great things. Now, were they perfect? No, not even close. There was a few that were a little bit closer than most of the rest of us. First one that I thought came to my mind was Job. Now that boy, he went through some stuff. He didn't do nothing wrong. But his whole world turned upside down. His friends said, "What in the world did you do wrong to just get down and ask God for his forgiveness, whatever you did?" He said, "Well, I didn't do nothing." He said, "Well, ask God for forgiveness." His wife told him to curse God and die. It got so bad. He lost everything he had. And then God gave it back to him double. Because he held his faith through everything that came along. Then there was another boy named Caleb. Now, the average Jew was about 5.5 foot tall. They were a little on the short side. The Anakites were between 8 and 9 foot tall. I mean, them boys were so big, they had 6 fingers and 6 toes. They was huge. Now, Caleb was one of the 10 spies that was sent in to spy out the promised land to see what was there. And him and Joshua come back and says, "Yeah, it's great, and we can take them." The other 10 says, "We can't take them. They're too strong. Their cities are fortified. Them people are huge." So they wandered around the desert 40 years until all that non-believing crowd died off. And then they come back in. Caleb was promised everywhere he walked would be his inheritance. Caleb waited 45 years to get his inheritance. How many of us are willing to wait that long for a promise? But now when Caleb went to Joshua and said, "Look, I want my land. I want my mountain that I was promised. I know the Anakites are there. I know the cities are fortified. I know they're huge." This is a scrawny Jew talking about these giants now. He said, "I can take them. I'm just as strong for battle today as I was then. I can take them." The man was 85 years old. 5.5 foot tall. He's going to go kick them 8 and 9 foot people off their land to take possession of it? Well, guess what? He did. He kicked them off their land and he took possession of it. Because he said, "God with me, I can do it." And God was with him and he got it, got the job done. The other one I thought about was Ananias. And you know who Ananias was? He was the one that God sent to take the scales off Paul's eyes. Now, I have visions of Ananias getting this word from God to go do it. Because Ananias knew who Saul of Tarsus was. And I can just hear him now when God said, "I want you to go to Straight Street and take the scales off and everything." And Ananias said, "Do what? You want me to do what?" He said, "Look, Lord, I know who this man is. If I go there and do that, I'm going to die. He's going to kill me." But he went. And he took the scales off. And because he was willing to do what God told him, 2/3 of the New Testament was written. So, Ananias wasn't nobody famous. He wasn't nobody great. But he was willing to do what God told him to do. Okay, now let's get into the rest of the crowd that were not exactly what you would call near perfect. The best terminology you could give them would be screw-ups, because they did. They screwed up everything they put their hands on. First one we're going to talk about is one of the mightiest men in the Bible, and that's Moses. Everybody, you know, you think of the mighty men in the Bible, Moses, first one comes to your mind, because he was such in favor with God. Well, he didn't even know who God was until he was grown. Had no idea. And then after he got grown, he went and saw the burning bush. And he figured out who God was. And then God come to him and said, I want you to go to Egypt and bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses said, yes, sir, Lord, I'll do it. Right? No. That ain't what he said. If you got your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. We'll start there. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I to go out and do this? I'm nobody special. Why am I going to be the one to go do this? You ever said that? Yeah, bunch of times. And then Moses, that was one. Then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What am I going to tell them? That's when God says, tell them, I am that I am. But here again, he's coming up with excuse number two. Why he can't do what God told him. And you read on down a little bit to, I think that's the biggest of the excuses there. There might be another one I missed. In chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me and listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And that's when he told him to take his staff and throw it on the ground. And when he did, it became a snake. And when he picked it up, it became a staff again. That was number 3. And then he said, I still need some sign to show him. He told him to stick his hand in his coat and pulled it out. It had leprosy. Stuck it back in, pulled it out, and it was healed. Number 4. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Which was probably a lie, because he was taught by the Egyptians and he was in the Pharaoh's house, because Pharaoh's daughter had adopted him. So I'm sure that he was very eloquent of speech and he was not slow. That was excuse number 5. I can't talk. How many of y'all ever said that? Yes, you can. You prove it every Sunday when you come in here. And that's when the Lord told him, okay, I'll send Aaron with you. But Moses said, oh Lord, this is my favorite one. Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Anybody ever said that? I don't want to go. Like they had a song about that. Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. please, Lord, I don't want to go. Let somebody else go do it. Let him go do it. Lord, he's better at it than I am. Send him, not me. That's number 6. That's when God got angry with him and told him, well, it don't go into what he said, but I'm pretty certain that it was to the point and very easy to understand. I mean, I don't know how God talks to y'all. And he talks to you if you listen. Because when Danny Williams came in to this church, what, 8 years ago or so? Something like that. And gave a talk about the prison ministry and how important it was and how somebody needed to go and how this church needed to get a group together to go do it. And I remember sitting there and saying, yeah, that's right. Somebody does need to do that. So that fella right up there, he'd be good at it. No one in the back said, he got it under control. And then I heard a low, quiet voice said, do it. Well, I pulled my Moses stunt. I made out like I didn't hear that one. And I just, yeah, I said, he would be good at it. I think he's the one that's needed. And after a little bit of saying stuff like junk like that, I heard some other voice come back and said, do it. A little louder that time. And again, I went right back to them things Moses come up with, all his 7 excuses, went through every one of them. And I got to the very last one and said, please send somebody else. I ain't got the time. I can't do it. I've got too much on my plate. I just can't do it. I don't have the time. Y'all ever watch A-Team on television? You remember Mr. T? Well, when the Holy Ghost tells me something the third time, sounds just like Mr. T. Because he come back to me that time and he said, boy, I give you 4 Thursday nights a month. I want one of them back. Have you got a problem with that? Are you ready to go? To which he can only answer, yes, sir. I'm ready. So that's when David and I got started. And we got up there that first night. And we were told we got to go, had to go for 3 months to get everything squared away before we'd be allowed to do the message. Right? And I dropped my glasses on when we got in there and broke them. We go back with Johnny Willis. And Johnny does the first one. He says, all right, which one of y'all going to do the next one? I go, wait a minute. We ain't ready. I'm wearing a pair of glasses, got lens on one side because the other one fell out. But we did it. We got through it because God was with us. When you go into that prison, first time that door slams behind you, it'll make your stomach turn over. Because you know you're locked in there. If they was to jump you, there ain't no way them guards get in there before you was a bloody mess on the floor. But by the same token, the second time that door slams, you're saying, I got this. Holy Ghost got my back. They ain't going to hurt me. And after that, you get the boldness of the Holy Ghost and you go for it. I wrote that one upside down, so I had to turn it back over. I know y'all don't do stuff like that, but I do. Another one I like to look at is King David. Now, King David, a man after God's own heart. How many times you heard that? Well, you know that he had to be almost perfect, right? Well, except for that little thing about the adultery. And then there was the murder. Oh, yeah, he did run from Saul for 10 years. And didn't, let's see, he fought with somebody, with the Palestinians. Israel's enemies. He fought with them for a while. Other than that, he was perfect, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he was. Read Psalms. Most of them, especially the ones that David wrote, they have a common theme to them. The boy's got in this bigger mess than he can handle every one of them. And he calls on God for help because there ain't no way he can get himself out of it. How come he can be a man after God's own heart if he did all that junk? It's real simple. Every time he screwed up, he's come and say, Lord, I've done it again. I need forgiveness. every single time. That's what made him a man after God's own heart. That's what will make us someone after God's heart as well. Then there was Peter, number one disciple. He had to be real good, right? Well, other than the fact he'd fly off the handle at nothing, he was a big hothead, denied Jesus three times in one night after he swore he would die for him. And then he got asked for forgiveness, and he got it, and then he got the boldness of the Holy Ghost, and he went out and started preaching and bringing a lot of converts in. So, yeah. And then my favorite one to talk about, Saul of Tarsus. David remembered the first time I talked about him. There was this one fella in there, and he was about the size of those doors in the back, both of them. Yeah. He was big. He was American Samoan, I think. Yes. And if he ducked and turned sideways, he could get through that door. He was a big boy. He was full grown. But I got in there, and the first thing I asked was, anybody here think you bad? You mean? You tough? I said, you ain't nothing. That's when David's eyes started getting big. Anyway, Saul of Tarsus was bad, bad news. He was bad to the bone. You could come into a building like this, full of people, and you could shout his name, Saul of Tarsus! And before the echo got gone, you'd be standing here by yourself because everybody else done left. But they didn't want no part of nothing to do with that boy, because he had an open search warrant to come to your house anytime, anywhere. And if he found anything that made him think you was a Christian, you was hauled off in chains. And nobody ever knew what happened to you because you were never heard from again. They don't know if you went to prison or you become lion food or what. Because you were never heard from again. He imprisoned and murdered many, many Christians. Now how in the world can God use somebody like that? He turned his heart. And because he turned his heart, and because Ananias come took the scales off of his eyes, we have 2/3 of the New Testament written by Apostle Paul. So if God can use a man like that, he can use anybody. Ain't nobody in here done anywhere near what he done. God can use you. Now, you won't always know what God wants you to do. You might drive to work or to church a certain road every time. And all of a sudden, that little quiet voice will say, go this way. And you go that way. And there's somebody down there that needs help. And you stop and help them. Story about that. This woman was in the bad part of town. I mean, it was bad. It was getting late, and she didn't need to be there, and she knew it. And she went to get in her car, and lo and behold, the door was locked. She couldn't get in. So she said, Lord, I need some help. Send somebody to help me. About 10 minutes later, car pulls up. It's an old beat-up car. I mean, it looks ragged. The door opens and this great, big, burly, rough-looking fella gets out. I meant the crooks would be scared of him. And he put his hands on the hip and said, I don't know why I'm here, so I just got out of prison for grand theft auto. Woman put her hands together and said, Lord, thank you. Not only did you send help, you sent a professional. God can use you, don't care who you are, what you've done, or anything. God's got a use for you. Listen to that quiet voice when it talks, so that you'll be ready to do whatever he wants done. All you have to do is be available. And it's real simple. Lord, here I am. Use me. But don't say that unless you mean it. Because when you say that, he gonna use you. Now, it may not be what you want to do. Going to that prison ministry was not on my top 10 favorite things list, I promise you. But after he told me the third time, I figured for health reasons, I better do what he said. Otherwise, my health might get real bad real quick. So David and I went up there for that. And we'd have sugar attacks at the end of it because we always got this dozen donuts and there won't be two of us there to eat them. So. Huh? Oh, that's right. We got 2 dozen back then. So. Glaze. Yeah, yeah. They usually get about 2. David did. You work on 12 donuts, honey, I promise you that we'll get you full. But listen to that voice when it talks to you, and he will. I mean, it won't be something you necessarily wanted to do, but it'll be something he needs done. So why not me? Why not let me be your instrument to do what you want done? I promise you that when you do, it may not be exactly what you would have preferred, but when we do the prison, if they get half of it out of it, what we do, they got a blessing. Because we're doing what God told us to do. And we would go up there when there was just the 2 of us, and we get in there and we do start our message, right? I had no clue what he was going to talk about. He had no clue what I was going to talk about. And they were parallel with each other every time. Because we were directed as to how we were going to do it, what we were going to do and say. Yeah, that's the way he works. That's what he does. So when you say, use me, better mean it. Because he's going to say, all right, this is what I want you to do. And if you're ready, get up and do it. And just remember, you got the talent. They get up here and play this and sing and sound real good and look pretty and everything else. But I sit back there and listen. Because if they don't have somebody to listen, they're wasting their time just singing. They need somebody to listen. God needs somebody to do a lot of different jobs. And he's got a job for each and every one of us if we'll just listen and do what he says. You ain't got to have all this great ability. I can't get up there and talk. I don't know why not. You do it out there every Sunday morning. And I'm sure when you go to the grocery store in Wally World, Walmart, that you talk there too and run your mouth. I ain't seen many of you wouldn't run your mouth pretty much anywhere you was. It's going to be a little bit on the short and sweet side tonight. Well, not too much on the short and sweet. Yeah. When I went to the VA in Durham, they had a sign up on the wall. And the sign said, when you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Live your life so that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice. That is. I've never forgot that. So God's got something for you to do. All you got to do is say, yes, sir, and do it. Or yes, ma'am, whichever. I don't know. I ain't met him yet in person, so I can't tell you. But that day's coming. Soon, I hope. The way this world's going. But a lot of things are going on, and right now, God needs us to turn this country back around. Yes. because it is headed the wrong way. Luke, read the Old Testament. What happened to the Israelites every time they turned against God? Bad things happened to them. They lost all the fights that they had. They were overthrown, became slaves. A lot of bad stuff happened to them. This country right now is turning its back on God. We got to put a stop to it. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There's a whole lot more of us than there is of them. We got them outnumbered. All we got to do is stand our ground. Now, I'm too old to run, so I'm going to have to stand and fight. Now, if you won't stand with me, come on. We will get the job done. Not anymore. The bloodhound slowed down before she died to the point I could keep up with her. And the other bloodhound we got now, well, he got a young one, and it ain't slowed down. I let some of the girls keep up with him. I'll stay in the back. No, she finally had to put him down. He was in bad shape. He really was. But she's working on another dog now. She's got a German Shepherd she's working on. And we do have another blue tick on the team. And I don't know if y'all have ever worked with them or not, but they're one of the hard-headedest dogs that you've ever seen. They're hard-headed. I mean, they're going to do it their way. Lab is mild compared to the blue tick. Oh, yeah. Now, if you watch television, you see on all these searches, they got one fella carrying three bloodhounds out there, and the dogs is barking and everything else. We don't have that script writer. We have one person with one dog, and they don't bark. Now, we got one dog that'll bark when they find somebody. Bark 3 to 5 times. That's it. When they're on track, they don't bark. We got different script writers than what they do on television. That's it. Well, I mean, they do searches. I've seen them on there. Dogs barking and everybody's running around. And that ain't the way we do it. It's a whole lot different. We go out as a team of 3 to 5 people. We always send 3 out because somebody got to live tell what happened to the other 2. But we go out. We search the area. I'm the tracker, and I've got a couple others that I'm training along to come in for tracking. We'll go to the last known point and try to pick up some tracks and get a direction to travel. Well, you've got Edward, North Carolina to search. And the car was out here in the parking lot. Or no, he was over there at the fellowship hall. And I go up to the car and I look around, and 30 minutes later, I got some tracks and a direction of travel. He's headed that way. So guess what? We don't have to search that way. We can concentrate our here. Yeah. Yeah, we don't do search for critters, or we don't search for criminals. I don't get paid enough to get shot at. I mean, the good news is if you're in search and rescue, your annual salary is in 6 figures. The bad news is all 6 of them are zeros. We're 100% volunteer, and you pay for everything out of your own pocket. I have had, since 91 when I got started, twice I've had somebody put gas in my car. Twice. And that was both times I was in Kinston. That's it. I mean, most times they don't even say thank you. Oh, yeah. If you like mystery, you had to write the last chapter. Because you don't know where they went, what they did, what happened, or anything else. The last search we did, couple weeks ago, to about 3 or 4 weeks ago. That's why Barbara was gone, so it's been less than 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago. A 17-year-old girl walked off from home. Last time she was seen at the back door in her bedroom. And we checked around, found some tracks in the front yard. Well, she has a sister about her same size, wears the same type shoe, sandal type shoe. We knew sandals, they ain't, it's a teenager ain't going in the woods. Okay? I mean, it just ain't going to happen. So we got the dog out, scented the dog. The dog followed up to a certain point and lost it. So I went over there and car tracks. The car had turned around where the dog lost it. So she got in the car. And off they went. Individually. And occasionally we'll get together in a group and pray. I've done that before and had a 2-year-old that was missing and we prayed about it and we were getting ready to go out and I heard the helicopter pilot was talking to command. He said, well, how are we going to know whether or not that we see her? And Holy Ghost told me, said, tell him. I said, you will know when you see her, that's her. And they found her. She was in a 75-acre wheat field with wheat that high that had been searched a dozen times. You stand at one point and see the whole field. And they found her, I think it was at night. They saw her on the FLIR. And it was in December. She had taken her coat off, made a pillow, and laid down. She was getting ready to go in hypothermia. Found her just in time. Two. Mm-hmm. I've done 2 searches for 2-year-olds. Both of them found alive. 26 hours. We've had several then. Huh? Oh, that was in Garland. That was in Garland. He was a tough old buzzard. Now he was 72 years old and he had a tendency to walk off. And his 48-year-old son tried to catch him one time and finally give up because the old man outrun him. And he got missing on Tuesday. Search was initiated Tuesday night. And went through Sunday when he was found. He was found alive. Now, he had dementia. They found him, and it's typical with a dementia person. They get muddy or dirty or caught up in briars. They'll strip down. And he had stripped down everything he had, and they found him sitting in a mud hole. Huh? No. I mean, he was wandering around in the woods. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, that woman, she had shoes she was wearing were one off of one pair and another shoe off of another pair. So that one was, and the one that found her was a neighbor. Because we had, our deputy and I had actually done some tracking on her and tracked her part of the way. But the neighbor looked out the window the next morning and saw her. And she was getting ready to go into hypothermia. When you go into hypothermia, your body thinks you're hot. And you'll start stripping down. Many a person will be found dead in water, totally naked, because they thought they were hot. And they'll go in the water and freeze to death. But it has its rewards. I mean, you find a 2-year-old alive and well after they've been missing for 26 hours, made everything worthwhile. Every bit of it. But that's one thing God told me to do. And the way he told me was a little bit on the strange side. fellow by the name of George Sullivan, I was with the State Defense Militia at the time, said that it's easier to track at night than it is daytime. And under my breath, I thought, you lying scoundrel. Ain't no way. I said, now what lie you going to tell me next? Then it got dark. And he showed me which one of us was lying, and it wasn't him. I got hooked on that and been hooked ever since. You got a light. That's what makes it so much easier is how you use that light. You get down on the ground, hold the light about that far above the ground, and sweep it over the track, and the track will jump right up off so you can see it. Huh? I don't know.
I mean, is it colored
light? I just used a white one. Turquoise works real good. We were tracking the fellow that taught the came up with the step-by-step tracking system we use, named Ab Taylor, taking a class under him. And one of my students who I had got started, it was her second training, and she's one of the best man trackers in North Carolina now, was using a turquoise. She said it was turquoise. I don't know what it was. But she was using a turquoise light, and it worked good. Red works pretty good, and green worked pretty good. It just depends. If they don't want to be found, you may not find them. We had a boy in Atlantic that had told the deputies he was had mental problems and it was severe physical problems. And he told them when he got to a certain point, degraded to a certain point, he would commit suicide and they would not find him. So they called us out there and we searched, I think, for about 30 hours. And no, we didn't find him. Very seldom do you ever hear how it comes out because they don't bother calling to you. One we did, Jones County, just outside of New Bern, just right at the county line. 30-year-old black male, mentally retarded, just so they told us, disappeared. They found his clothes along 17. You didn't need dog smell the clothes. The odor was very, very strong. Easy to smell. Even found, down to his underwear. And dogs tracked him to a certain point. Three or four different dogs, I forget now. Tracked them to a certain point and lost all of them, lost interest at the same place. This mentally retarded person, the living conditions he had were, you wouldn't believe it if you saw it. They were the worst you could possibly imagine. The bathroom was a 5-gallon bucket, which very seldom ever got emptied. Everything in the place was wet, moldy, and a skunk would have left because the smell was too strong. That's the conditions he was living in. And he decided he didn't want it no more, so he left. Best we can figure, somebody met him where the dog lost interest. It was right over the driveway. And because by the end, he was naked by the end because he left all of his clothes. I don't blame him. I'd left him too bad. Them things stunk. He got in the car with him, and they took him off. I did find out about a month later that he was found in Maryland with some family members. And he was retarded, and we stayed out there 5 days looking at him. He was smarter than we were. But that's some of the things, but that's all because boy told me you track better night than you could daytime. And that's when it got dark, he showed me. And that's when that little voice said, do it. You didn't have to tell me three times that. I listened the first time on that one. But when that little voice talks, listen. I mean, it may be something you really want to do, or it may be something you kind of wish that you hadn't got involved in, but I can promise you one thing. You will be extremely blessed every time you listen to that voice.
That's right. I'll tell you something I learned a long time ago. I hate to mention it, but I got lost in my own movements and lost my deer. I turned it that I couldn't do it anymore. Dropped in, then I dropped the cruise thing. Then I said, "Dang, well, this is getting bad. I'm right out here working up and keep all my life." So what I've done. See which side the moss was. And then I knew that I could find out and come out. And I did. So, tell them, if it ain't been in here, you notice which side of the tree that moss grew.
Yeah, moss grow on the north side. By the same token, you'd be surprised how easy it is to get turned around in an area that you know. My boys and I were hunting one time in an area we know, and there was a canal there in one little spot you could cross it. It got dark. We start out, no compass, no flashlight, no nothing, and it's dark. So you listen, and you can hear the cars. All right, that's Highway 264. I know that. So if that's 264, we need to go this way. And that little spot you crossed won't but about that wide, and it was a big canal. We finally stumbled across it and got out of there. Yeah. We have different things we use. We have maps. You always carry your compass with you. And we got a thing called GPS. And that works real good if you remember to turn it on. they've about taught me that. But the biggest thrill for me is that 72-year-old man that was found after 5 days, and he was starting to dehydrate, but he wasn't alive. Some of my students found him. Some of my students. And we had a 2-year-old in Hertford County. One of my students found him, found her. And I've got two of my students that are far better than I am. But I taught them first. I got the fire started.
That's right. That's right.
One male and one female. Our team is about 60% female. Dog handlers is 70% or better, 70-80%. Yeah, North Carolina. Maybe South Carolina or Virginia will have, if they need us. I've been called a Black Mountain before.
And,
North Carolina. The whole state. And South Carolina and Virginia if we're needed there. That's about as far. I have been to the Blue Ridge Parkway on the search before. And when they call, I have. And when they call us in to go there, they wore out everybody that was. There was a Boy Scout that was missing up there 10 years ago. Law enforcement calls us, either law enforcement or it's humanity. We don't go unless we're invited. We have to be called by either emergency management or law enforcement. Because we're there to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. We won't hear it on the news and show up. We hear it on the news, we might make a telephone call, but probably not even that. because emergency management has access to all of our numbers. But I do see a lot of my students on searches, and it gives me a lot of pride, a lot of pride.
Yes.
Because that's one thing, when he said do it, I listened. And I have really benefited out of it. And when he told me on the third time on the prison ministry, I get a lot out of that too. Because if, like I say, if the inmates get half of what we do, they got a big, true blessing. So whenever you do what God tells you, you'll be blessed for it. I promise you. Anybody got anything else they want to say, add, whatever? Your turn next.
Also, it's how you say things. If you want to say nothing, y'all think y'all bad. Y'all think y'all bad. And the table is full, and most of the guys are big enough to eat. And he said, did you hear me? Y'all think y'all bad. He said, y'all ain't nothing. When he said like that, I said,
yeah.
I didn't think I was a walking.
He just knew he was dead.
And what he said, he just didn't say it. It's the way he said it.
Yeah.
I'll call on God.
Well, I had the boldness of the Holy Ghost that night. And I did not hold back one bit. Let them have both barrels.
And then the first night, we all put together. And the very first night, we went in there one night. Again, we were supposed to be all these months, we were supposed to be together. And I had a message of where was God from that message. I saw my Muslims and Christians. And the very first night, we were in John, I'm going to talk about the good and tell you.
Uh-huh.
And so we were still by ourselves, and the guy stood behind me, and I'm keep stabbing me and shooting me all over. So the next cell I came in, I stood back and the wall. And the Muslims and the Christians got around the table, and all of them cried. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've had some awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we went to Christian church one night, and they said, the business is very slack. If y'all put these hats on, we're going to do some business, we'll give you a thing. And so me and Ben put the hats on, walked outside, walked around. They said, hey, come on in here, people put me in the clarify, we just got out of prison.
That was true. That was true, we had.
We've done a lot of business that night.
Yeah. They ain't there for missing Sunday school, okay? Uh-huh. Well, they're hungry because they got nothing else to do. No. We don't ask why they're there. Of course, most of the ones we're at are waiting trial. No. Well, if they do, they're going to say that they're not guilty most of the time. Some of them will flat tell you, say, look, I did what they accused me. That's not a problem, but I need help with this, that, and the other. And we do a lot of praying in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there may be believers out of you on that. Anybody got anything else they wanted to add or say or throw some vegetables or something? I ain't sung, so you shouldn't be throwing anything. I'll catch them. If they get past David, I'll catch them. And that's a big if, believe me. We were going one time, and the boy did it deliberately. We were driving the van, and where we normally turn in, he didn't. And he kept going. David said, "You missed it, you missed it. Go back, go back." He went up, turned in the other.
They also they get donuts mixed up. We all of them share a dozen. We get donuts mixed up. So what? If I stick my finger in.
So
I get my donuts, and they know that now. So
yeah. The first time he did that, the girl that was waiting on him, do what? But now they just hold it up. So he put his mark each one. And you go, but you know where yours are based on where they are in relation to what he marked. But you will enjoy doing whatever God wants you to do. At first, you might not think so. At first, you might have reservations about it. But once you get into doing what he said, you'll be blessed by it, I promise you. Take me up on it. I guarantee it. Take me up on it. If I'm wrong, if I lie to you, take me out there in the yard and stomp the crap out of me. But if I'm telling the truth, you can thank me. Yeah. I don't know how many is there because we never go back where they are. But there's usually some girls that go back and minister to them. And what is it, 40, 60 or something back there? In A block?
How many A blocks?
Four.
Four.
Uh-huh.
And there's two F blocks. And then there's six B blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one more F block. And then both F blocks are about 100 guys. And the A blocks and B blocks are
20 to 40.
Yeah, and sometimes they only have a place on a mattress. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the women are one section. The guys are all over the place.
Yeah.
One section. And the women go to ministry. No.
Will you be interested in doing a prison ministry? We got training coming up. Huh? Moses, excuse has been tried. It didn't work before. It ain't going to work this time either. No. Well, the old man at Emmaus. Yeah.
The man in the mask was 90. He was
He had a prison ministry. 90.